We validated the model that this type of thing can work, that we can bring, you know, knowledge workers of all different skill sets together and build assets and change the game. But the idea now is, what if we, instead of helping charities, if can we aim that, you know, cannon at a bigger problem?
Welcome to the Problematic Podcast, a show that gives you the chance to be the hero in helping solve some of the world's largest problems. Find out which teams need your skills today at problematic.app. And now, here's your host, Sean Tierney.
All right, welcome to the Problematic Podcast. This is episode zero. We're going to do something a little different today. I am here in person with my friend Ben Lakoff, and we are in beautiful countryside Italy, Puglia, Italy, at a friend's wedding, a gorgeous wedding last night. And I figured this would be a good way to introduce the concept of what I'm doing here with Problematic. And so, Ben, I'll turn it over to you.
Prego.
Yeah, prego. Everything's prego.
Excited to be here. No, super excited. Flip the mics a little bit, hear a little bit more about what you're working on with Problematic, and kind of double click on some of these things, which is really exciting. So let's just kick this off. People obviously know who you are, but a little bit of backstory of kind of how we ended up at Problematic.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. The good place to start is maybe how we met each other. So we're both nomadic for a couple of years, and we met in a co-living place in Grand Canary Island. Ended up doing two nomad cruises together, and actually on the nomad cruise, I pitched this idea of Charity Makeover, and so revived kind of this old effort that I had started. And what that was basically this premise that we could actually help charities by having complete strangers come together and build digital assets that change the game for them. And we did this in a hackathon format. We came together and we demonstrated a couple different times. We did it in Barcelona, we did it in Bali, and we proved that these events really work. Like we absolutely built some game-changing stuff. I've addressed some of these in talks that I've done before, but like Bali Street Moms was a fantastic success that still like subsidized this housing development for them. It allows them to feed families, like so amazing outcome there. We've done this for animal shelters. We've done it for Make Food Not War, a Lisbon Project, like a number of different charitable organizations. So we know this model works. And I think that was where this kind of all originated from, was the Charity Makeover concept. It was a strange time for sure. It was in the middle of COVID. I think the last time I saw you there, we just kind of fist bumped and you were going back to the States and I was going to the north side of that island.
Yeah, it was, I mean, for context here, the world kind of shut down in March 2020, and we had our last in-person one probably late February. I mean, at the
it was March 14th.
Oh my God.
It was like the week before.
Actually in March, and right after that, I mean, everything basically shut down. The world got super weird. So, I mean, with Charity Makeover, the way that I always kind of explain it is like it's this one-day hackathon targeting these charities and using people's superpowers to create them something magical that they never would have come to that idea, because you know it's applying a business mindset for this. I'm curious, with Charity Makeover, I mean, the pandemic coming in, but where else was this model kind of lacking in kind of really pulling the lever or moving the needle for these charities?
Yeah, so I saw two issues with Charity Makeover. It was a fun project. We did some game-changing stuff. It was hard to scale because it was an event model-based thing, right? We had to do these physical hackathons, which involved you and me orchestrating this stuff. So we had to physically be present, and that just limits us in terms of what we can do. But also just coupling ourselves to charities means that we have to then go out, find a charity that's somewhat dysfunctional, but not too much to the point where it's unsalvageable. So it's something that has a good cause. They're poised to do really good work, but they're just maybe under-marketed or they lack staff or whatever it is. So it involved finding those entities, but then we were essentially yoked to what they could do. And I thought it was a mistake to constrain our efforts to that. I felt like we validated the model that this type of thing can work, that we can bring, you know, knowledge workers of all different skill sets together and build assets and change the game. But the idea now is, what if we, instead of helping charities, can we aim that, you know, cannon at a bigger problem? And so that's what Problematic is. It solves the bottleneck of having to physically be there. It turns it into this notion of what I call hyperlocal micro collaborations, where you're just pairing people up in a coffee shop, people who have the same cause affinities, but maybe complementary skill sets. And you're bringing those people together and you're putting them in a workspace, giving them a project that they can execute and, you know, do some real good on a larger societal issue.
Amazing. No, I mean, I love the mission and the idea here. So explain it like me, like I'm five.
Yep.
What is Problematic?
Yep. So I just say we're crowdsourcing solutions to the world's biggest problems. And with that, the way that we're doing that is, the way that I've chosen to attack it is starting with a podcast. I'm bringing in subject matter experts and we're picking really gnarly problems. So the first four that are out there right now, we've got wealth inequality, we've got hunger and homelessness, human trafficking, and the cancer industrial complex. So massive societal scale issues. And the idea is that we break down the problem, we talk to a subject matter expert, and we unravel what does this problem really entail. Like, pick it apart for me and explain it to me like I'm a third grader, and then let's understand the component parts. And then from that, at the end of every interview, we then switch into like a solution mode. And we say, okay, now that we understand the problem, wave a magic wand. If we could build anything, like given the skill sets that we have, and we're talking about building things like marketing campaigns and mobile apps and websites and that type of thing. So given that set of skills, what might we be able to build that could put a dent in this problem? And so that's the way we're approaching it now. Like currently, like what the site is today or what the project is today versus where I hope it goes are two different things. There's obviously a gap there. What it is today is just really that podcast. And we did our first hackathon in Lisbon 2 weeks ago. We're starting small though. We're just going to do this in person, at, you know, figure out all the nitty gritty of how we work together, what needs to exist collaboration wise. And then as soon as we have all that ironed out, then the idea is, can we scale it and, you know, grow this so it can be, you know, algorithmically pair people up with the right teams and give them workspace and provision. Yeah, basically provision work, free workspace for people
awesome.
To work in.
Awesome. Yeah. So in 5-10 years, when this thing is functioning exactly the way that it should, what does this look like globally? I mean, obviously, these big problems that you're tackling, these will shift and change, and you'll continue sticking to these big ones. But what does the actual execution of these start to look like?
Yeah, so I have a roadmap. I mean, if people want to see the super detailed version of this, there is a Trello board that's linked in the menu of the website. But really, like a big picture, what I see, let's build the minimum viable product of what this needs to be to execute it with the hackathon model. Then let's take that and scale it to the point where like there need not be people leading the event, but this can actually become more of a platform to bring people together where they can connect with each other, and it will suggest project ideas, and we'll layer in a bounty program at some point, and then layer in the ability to provision workspace. The Croissant app has an API, so I envision basically being able to figure out where people live, who's next to them with complementary skill sets, and then literally give them project ideas. Once they accept, we then give them a workspace where they can work for free. We have donated software so we can also provision different resources for them, and really just turn this into like a crowdsourcing platform. And you know, ideally what I, like where I wanna take this is how many cycles are wasted each month? Like how many smart people do we know? And you know, sure, we all need downtime and like watching Netflix, but that's the time that I think we're competing against is, can we pull like 2 hours, 3 hours a month out of people who ordinarily would spend that time just kind of like squander it? Well, this is just like a way more interesting, way more rewarding way to spend those cycles. And so if this becomes a thing, like I hope it can, it will be a movement in every sense. It will be, you know, something that people want to be a part of, and they'll be empowered with like however involved they want to be, whether it's in person or whether it's online. You know, we give them a way to contribute and participate.
Mm. I think that's something that always sticks out in my mind. People from these in-person charity makeover events, yeah, they're very unscalable and has a number of those obstacles or hurdles, but like the look on people's faces at the end of that weekend, I mean, it's because you've created something tangible for somebody in need. So I just can't imagine like that feeling, but at a global scale for these gigantic insurmountable problems globally, there's definitely something there. I think, like, with hackathons, nomad, like, globally diverse, crowdsourced, startup mindset, business mindset, you're like, literally the perfect candidate for applying this framework to this, or applying this solution to this potential problem. I'm curious, what else similar to this has been tried in the past to tackle these global problems, if anything, that you've like come across?
Yeah, I mean, there are challenges, like innovation challenges you'll see out there. There was a company I just ran across, I forget the name right now, but I'll link it in the show notes. So there are like innovation challenges, but there isn't, in the same way that I'm envisioning, like, I want this to be like a club that people are proud to be a part of, and that it just becomes a regular thing that you do. Like in Lisbon right now, we held that first hackathon, and I think it was like 90% of the people want to come back and continue it and keep going. So if this is something that we can do monthly, and it just becomes like a social thing that you look forward to doing, it's just how you spend a part of your month, you know, every month. I think that's the right level of engagement, and that's where I want to take it.
That's awesome. What so another thing with like, what type of person are you looking, or like who's the ideal customer to participate in this? Customer meaning participant and like contributor. So that was the other thing. Like whenever people hear hackathons, you know, it's quite, well, I'm not a developer. Like, can I actually attend? So is this more developer focused, or who are the ideal candidates to get involved with this?
I mean, it really depends. So the mindset that I've taken is we can use anyone. Literally, if you have a pulse and you can rub two sticks together, we can probably use your help in some way. You know, we have copywriters, developers, designers, artists, videographers, SEO experts, social media, you know, you name it, all walks, all different professions. It's typically knowledge workers, project managers, people who are comfortable working online. But I mean, we can use all types, and the approach we've taken in the past is what we build is dictated by who we have in the room. Now this will change over time as it's not constrained to that, and we have a wide pool of people, then we can start to really provision things and figure out, you know, how to line people up on teams. But I mean, I purposely called the last event in Lisbon a jam session. I did not call it a hackathon because I'm well aware that when you call it a hackathon, it just instantly makes people think, oh, I have to be a developer, I'm not technical, I don't know how I could possibly contribute. And the answer is you can. We can absolutely use your help. You don't need to be a developer.
Awesome. And I mean, just to kind of complete that thought, where do people go next? Like, you know, okay, this makes sense. What should somebody do to find out a little bit more?
Just to get involved.
Yeah.
So by the time this airs, this functionality does not yet exist. This is something else that's interesting, is I'm actually building the platform that we're using here. So it's a no code platform, which means that I don't have to program it, even though I do have a programming background. This is a visual development platform. And so I'm building as we go what we need, one step at a time. And as a fellow startup founder, you know, it's like you're building the plane while you're flying it. Like, that is the name of the game, is just get off the ground, get in flight, and then figure out what you need and start building the fuselage according to your needs. So as we go here, like, I will air, by the time this episode airs, the functionality will exist to enter your skill set, enter your geographic location, where you are in the world, your availability, your, you know, your cause affinity, what SDGs resonate with you, the sustainability development goals. So, you know, if you care about poverty, or you care about, you know, keeping oceans clean, you know, we'll take these cause affinities and we'll match you with people that have complementary skill sets. Ideally, I will make it so it's both online and in person, depending on how you want to be involved. But to me, the magic, I think you'd agree, is like these events, just, it is about being in person. That is what makes, like, no one needs another Zoom call at this point. Like, I think we're all tired from the COVID era of just having another Zoom call to do. So I don't want to like create work in that sense for people. I want to create like these experiences where people can come together and like meet other amazing folks and work in person on meaningful projects.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, are people, is there any, obviously you get a lot of benefit from learning new skill, up leveling your own skill set and meeting like-minded individuals who are also super passionate about these things, but are there sorts of bounties for different tasks or anything like that, or kind of what other incentive, or what are the incentives for people to join and get involved?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing is just to talk, or like go look at the charity makeover video and the comments from the people who attended that. It's going to be very similar to that. So right now there is no monetary reward in place, although that is an intention, is to layer that in as an option. And I think what I want to do is I want to keep it so it's not mandatory. Like, some projects will be purely, you know, for the altruism of it. You just want to work on a meaningful cause. And then for others, if there's a way to put a bounty, if the problem's important enough and we find, like, you know, Microsoft wants to put their money on the line and say, hey, we want to sponsor this challenge and we want to cure whatever this thing is, that will make that capability. But that does not yet exist today. In terms of the motivation, I think it's really about, like, coming together, the social aspect of it, obviously the learning aspect of it. You get exposed to just skills and ideas and amazing people. And there's just, it's kind of the same thing as, like, startup weekends. Like, I've never learned more than I have at these really intensive events where you come together and you're just like, it's like a fire hose of just smart people doing their thing. And you're in proximity, just seeing how they work and how they think. I don't even know. I mean, it's a magical experience.
Oh yeah. And just the air, like the kind of experience, the people, it's quite infectious in a good way. Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious with, like, applying the same, like, startup kind of mindset with this, with Problematic, what's the most important thing in the next six months, like, kind of near term, that need to happen to really get the ball going with Problematic and down this longer term vision?
Yeah. So, I think we need to have some wins. I mean, the biggest thing we can do at this point is actually have a win. And we've already had, like, a semi-win, I'd say. At the very first hackathon we did, or the jam session that we did, we had a team come up with the two causes that we attacked were wealth inequality and human trafficking. The human trafficking team came up in the course of 3 hours, they came up with a Figma clickable prototype of this browser extension that basically seeks to address that problem by empowering consumers at the point of sale when they're shopping online. Let's say you go to a site and you're looking at an Adidas shoe and you have this extension installed. It pops up and it says potential human trafficking implicated in the supply chain. So you click on it, you get more information, and it gives you a list of all the articles published that reference the potential implications there. So it's like this type of thing, like surfacing information, giving consumers power, letting them vote with their wallets. And then when they do that, also then applying some pressure on the company, like the ability to quickly tweet or Facebook them and say, hey guys, I'm not buying this shoe and here's why, and I'm sharing it with my friends. So this type of thing, you know, it's projects like this that a few people in a weekend can cobble this together and now open source it and get it out there. And now it's actually having an impact on the world. You know, that's the type of thing that we're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, I attended the jam session and seeing things like this come out just in a few hours of ideation.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see something like that kind of spinning out, potentially getting funding, turning into its own kind of company? But, you know, Problematic was the incubator, like the initial spark that got it going, or how does it go from, like, this idea, this clickable prototype, to, okay, let's dump some gasoline on it and really blow this thing into something that's used by millions of people?
Right. So I guess the answer is that I don't fully know yet how that evolves. Like, I do know from experience that we need, the events are great as, like, a jumpstart. They get, like, 80% of the work done. And then there's like this slow, long tail of support and, you know, getting it into the world that needs to happen. So I know that's going to be the case here as well. So I think we will either have people involved in Problematic. It will need to have a team of its own, like, maintainers or whatever you want to call them, like people that do that last mile of work. Maybe it just becomes an incubator and we just, these get a profit motive behind them and we put them out in the world, or they become open source projects, or like, I guess I don't want to constrain it at this point because I don't know how it evolves.
Yeah.
I do know though that we can build meaningful stuff that changes the game and get it out there, and then we'll figure it out. Like, we'll do what we need to do to have those things have the maximum impact.
Yeah. Them. Yeah. And I think, like, each of these, I think it's probably quite difficult to have some exact strict template with, like, if this then that with all of these, and they'll slightly change. I mean, because you could be able to near complete some of these MVPs that are like production ready in a weekend hackathon.
Yeah.
Or jam session. I keep saying hackathon as well, right?
Like, I know.
Yeah, no. Well, what also thinking about, like, you know, wave a magic wand, change a few things right now to really make this easier, what would you change right now? Or like, what can somebody do right this second?
Again, so this functionality does not exist today here in Italy, but by the point where we actually air this interview, there will be the capability. You can go and sign up. So you can actually sign up today and participate in the discussion forums. We've made it so around episodes and problems and solutions, you can already, there's like this layer of chat on everything. So that exists today. At the point where this is aired, you will also be able to input your skills. So as you create your profile, there'll be like this little wizard that walks you through and it says, where are you from? What do you do? What skills do you have? What's your availability? Do you want to be in online or in person or both type of events? And what causes do you care about? And so collecting all that information, I think, is the next step. And then beyond that, then it will be a matter of doing some matching and putting people together and starting to actually formulate teams around that.
Hmm. And what's the most common objection you hear when somebody, when you're talking about this, like what's the most common, like, I don't really quite get it sort of reaction, and how do you respond to that?
I mean, I think the first thing is that people, or the thing that most people say is like, I don't know how I could help. I'm not sure my skills would be relevant to this. And then as we get to talking about it, you know, the person that comes to mind, my friend Christy, like, she says, oh, you know, my whole career I've spent doing like human psychology research, and I've gone into all these situations, and I have a PhD or whatever in psych, and then like da da da, and I don't know how I can help. I'm like, well, geez, like that's incredibly valuable, right? Like, I don't know. It's one of these things where you don't see the fit until after the fact. I can't tell you what we need until we get the people there. But once we have them there, we see what we can build with it. So the most common objection is, I'm not sure that my skills are relevant. I don't see how I can help. Beyond that, I think it's, you know, I get questions like, how do you choose the problems? How do you, you know, where do these solution ideas come from? And the answer is, it's all in flux. It's brainstorming right now. Like, it's me. There is no algorithmic problem selection method right now. It's me kind of using a set of filters. Maybe that's worth mentioning. Like, so the way that I'm doing this right now, I'm picking massive challenges that I think are big enough where they sound intractable, and they sound just like, how the heck are you going to solve hunger and homelessness, right? How are you going to solve human trafficking? It's just this kind of amorphous, gnarly problem. So it's got to be big enough that it inspires people, and that it's like meaty enough we can dig into it. It's got to have, I say, it's unarguably a bad thing. I think there's no one in the world that I know that would say, oh yeah, human trafficking, I can make the case for why it's a good thing, you know? So it just, we're not going to touch things like abortion or capital punishment or like these kind of political, religious issues that have, where you could conceivably have a case against it. So we're going to only attack things that are like so clearly bad that we all want them to go away. It's also got to be something where it's like we can feasibly see a path to building something that chips away at it. So if we can't envision, like if an asteroid were heading towards Earth, there is no project I can conceive of today where we're going to have any kind of impact on that, right? It's not going to change the outcome.
Unless Bruce Willis is here, obviously.
Yeah, right. Or Ben Affleck, right?
Yeah.
There's some feasible path for how we, something with our skill sets that we could build, and we can envision that actually changing the outcome, right? So that's filter number two. Filter number three is, can this scale? And I think a good example of this is like, you know, on the hunger and homelessness front, they said, how do you eat an elephant? You start, you know, one bite at a time. So we did a project for a group of people in Barcelona, Spain, who are already attacking this issue. They're grassroots initiative. They go out, they've gone out for every weekend for the last 8 years, and they've never missed a weekend. And they do two routes on Saturday and Sunday, and they go out and they feed the homelessness. They clothe them, they give them, you know, like toothpaste and that type of stuff. And so they were doing this out of a Google Sheet. We built them this mobile app, and it just like greatly reduces the admin and helps them do their thing. But we made it in such a way where now that we have that playbook and we understand how they put that together and we have the app, it's trivial to add one more field to the database and say, look, city equals Barcelona, we can now deploy this in any other city, and all that work that they did to figure this out and all the work we did to build the app, we can now replicate that in any other city. So these are the type of things, like, I think those characteristics, it has to be big and inspiring. You know, we have to see a path for how it works. It has to be unarguably a bad thing, and we have to see how it scales. I think those four criterion are kind of what I'm using loosely to come up with the problems that we attack.
That's incredible. I mean, awesome stuff, super inspiring. What else have I missed kind of with these questions or more information about Problematic that needs to be shared?
Yeah, no, everything's on the website. I think, you know, if you're listening to this, then presumably you already have the website. If not, it's problematic.app, and that's two T's. So problematic.app. You can go, I would say introduce yourself in the forums. That's a good next step. And then I would love it if you would add your skills and all that stuff that we talked about, where you are in the world, your availability, like what causes you care about. There should be a structured way to collect all that information by the point this airs. But if not, just introduce yourself in the forums and yeah, and we'll go from there. We'll do just, this is early days, and this is kind of the beauty of startups, is we'll see this thing grow and it should be fun.
Awesome, man. Super inspiring as always. Like everything that you're working on, I feel like this is the culmination of your life's work, all of your experiences and passions and interests and all of your skills like really fit together so, so well for something like Problematic. So yeah, super inspiring, super excited for you. And yes, stoked to support in whatever way we can. So
thanks, man.
Yeah, call
to action. I want to give people also a quick shout out for a year. So if you've never met Ben before, he actually has a podcast of his own. If you're into investing, it's called the Alt Asset Allocation. And it's amazing. It's like you interview, you know, crypto stuff, DeFi, gold, stocks, bonds, like land, Puerto Rico is like all types of
just definitely all of the weird investments that I'm interested in. Find a subject matter expert and talk about them. It's a fun time. So appreciate that.
Yeah.
All things outside of, I do talk about macro, but like any kind of investable asset outside of like stocks and bonds, go pretty deep on those things, which is quite interesting.
Cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean.
Let's go celebrate with Joe.
Sounds great. All right.
You've been listening to the Problematic Podcast. To get involved and propose a project idea of your own, or to join in the discussion around one of the projects proposed during the show, visit problematic.app. That's problematic.app. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a rating and review on your favorite platform. Until next time, be the change.